Beautiful, beautiful song, Miss Robin. Thank you so much for sharing that with us this morning. How many of you are glad to be here today? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm glad you're here too, and glad I'm here. And we're going to get back into the Word of God this morning. Go to the book of 1 John, chapter 6. 1 John, chapter 6. We've already had a great day today with our spiritual development hour this morning. We had so many classes full of people that were here to learn. And so grateful for each and every one of those spiritual development leaders that work hard to develop classes be worth your time to come to. Let me encourage you, if you're not attending one of the spiritual development hour classes, let me encourage you to get into one of those. Find one. You can visit them around. We got several for the adult age people. And if you can visit around for those and find which one you best fit in, I guarantee you it'll benefit you. A lot of Bible teaching, a lot of good fellowship. You get to know people in your church. Also, they have a lot of activities. For instance, a bunch of Christmas parties have happened over the last week and a half. Each of those, depending on which class you are a part of, they've had independent Christmas parties, and you can see on Facebook all the pictures of the fun that they're having, and it's just a good way to get involved in your church. If you don't get involved in that spiritual development hour, you may end up just feeling like you don't know anybody, just kind of seeing people here and there, shaking a hand on the way to the car after a church on Sunday morning. If you'll get into that spiritual development class, you'll get to know people here in a more molecular way. You'll get to actually build friendships and deeper relationships, and those are encouraging. One of the great purposes of the church is to provide friendship and fellowship in a Christian realm. We are to come out of the world and gather together in the fellowship around the Word of God. And so God designed the church, Christ did, for us to be able to come out of the world and have Christian fellowship and to provide that, as well as a place to study the Word of God and a place to hear the Word of God and a place to do the work of God. So all that is a part of the purpose. And get the whole purpose in there. Don't get part of it. Get it all so you get the maximum benefit from it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right, that was free. That was my first sermon. And that didn't even, you know, that was a short sermon. Don't you wish all my sermons were that short?
Amen.
Oh, man. No, you can't leave. We got another one, but that was sermon number one. Now, I do believe that I already get to have two offerings because there's two sermons. And so we've already had one offering, and we'll have another one after this one for the birthday of Jesus. So that's how that works. Every sermon should have an offering. You know, giving is worship. Amen?
Amen.
Boy, I got quiet on that. It was like, we're going to be picking up where I left off. This would be the third sermon out of this. I did not intend for that. I intended for this to be a one Sunday sermon. But when I got to developing it, man, it just, the Holy Spirit kept giving me more and more and more, and it just grew, and it's just not something I can compact into the limited time that I have per sermon. I don't want to leave all this on the cutting room floor. It's too important, and I believe that in order to walk with Christ and to live a victorious Christian life, we have to be geared up for battle. We have to be aware that there is a spiritual battle going on. We have to understand that there are spiritual beings that exist. They're not a fairy tale. It's not something from a scary movie. These are literal beings that exist, entities that are in an unseen world. And their whole goal, their whole purpose is to derail the will of God, keep you from the will of God. Their main purpose is to keep you lost, to see you suffer in hell for eternity as they are. But then the secondary purpose would be to do anything to derail or deride the work or the pleasure that we could yield up to God. And we have to be aware of them and their purpose, and we have to be aware of how to obtain victory with such an enemy pursuing us. So we've just gotten into the introductory parts of it. And so by way of remembrance, we've already established these truths before I read our text again. We've established these truths in the last two sermons. Number one, we established the truth that there are evil spirits in this world, and there is the Holy Spirit also in this world. How many of you understand that and you got that nailed down? All right, got some amens there. I hope that you have settled that you understand that there is an evil spirit presence in this world, but there's also the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible makes it clear that the Holy Spirit that indwells within us is stronger and greater than all of the evil spirits that live in the world. There's a whole gang of evil spirits, and all of them collectively are not more powerful than the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you. Amen. Greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. That includes Satan, and that would include anything affiliated with Satan, any evil spirit affiliated with him. We establish this truth. Number two, these spirits can cause oppression, persuasion, and possession in this present world. Those are three ways that they wreak havoc. The main way that they wreak havoc is through the two areas, oppression and persuasion. That is a daily conflict, even in the life of a child of God. You're constantly dealing with demonic oppression in your life, or they're trying to make your life hard, and the purpose was simple, to try to get you angry at God. There's a lot of Christians that the oppressive nature of Satan has turned them literally against their Heavenly Father. We saw this in the life of Job, and we alluded to this, where the whole goal of Satan was to turn Job against God, to make God see, to make God seem like he is an oppressor, not a blesser. And if you're not careful, and if you don't have some things nailed down in your life, the devil will win in his oppressive desires concerning you. He will get you to question God's goodness. He will get you to question God's grace in your life. He will get you to see God as the bad guy. And his goal is to get you to be turned against God. And man, many of us maybe have been at the precipice of that, where we felt we were about to step off that edge. And maybe it was during a season of oppression, where it was coming in wave after wave after wave, where it seemed like every time you answered the phone, every time you had a conversation, every time somebody came to you, you felt like there was more and more and more bad news, and you just felt like, what is going on here? Why is God against me? Why is God doing this to me? Why is God not stopping this? Why is God not blessing me? And if we're not careful, the devil can achieve great victory. And by the way, he's been doing this since the beginning of time. He's got it down to a science. And you have to be strong. What is the solution? You've got to be strong in your faith. Faith is the solution. Faith is the shield. The Bible says that we are to carry the shield of faith, whereby we may be able to quench all the fiery darts of Satan. Those fiery darts. Fiery darts. Faith is going to be your answer. Build your faith. Build your faith. Build your faith. Say it with me. Build your faith. We have established that this oppression, this persuasion, I explained persuasion as being temptation in the form of constantly trying to persuade you to do things that you ought not do, damaging things, hurtful things. The devil seeks to persuade us, to coach us constantly in a way contrary to God's will. And then we, of course, looked briefly, just made mention of the idea of possession, which is a biblical teaching where the devil can literally, or a demonic spirit can literally take possession of a physical body and use it for their wishes. And we looked at examples, talked about examples of that. There were many examples in Scripture. We didn't even scratch the surface on purpose. I don't want to delve too much into that. But we did make mention that it is there and it is real. And then the third truth that we established is this. This truth has been established. We are to discern the spirits and be led only by the Holy Spirit. There are many spirits trying to lead us, trying to oppress us, trying to persuade us, trying to, if you're unsaved, that there is an element that they would literally want to possess your whole physical body. That element's out there. It's walking, it's breathing, it's watching, it's looking for that opportunity. But we have to understand this. There's only one spirit that we are to give heed to, and that is the Holy Spirit. And the whole point of 1 John, as we read it, keep this in mind, it is to warn us of this and to encourage us to be able to discern an evil spirit from the Holy Spirit that is of God. Let's look at it together. 1 John chapter 4. Now that I have my glasses on. Did I say 6?
Yes.
I did. How many of you were looking for it in there? You were looking for it, looking for chapter 6. Russell's still looking for it. So it's not a 6th chapter in 1 John. He's still looking, aren't you, buddy? Yes. Well, you can stop looking now. We're going to be in 1 John 4. Verse 1 says, beloved. And when you see the word beloved any time in Scripture, especially in the New Testament, who do you know he's talking to? Talking to his children. Talking to the children of God. Talking to the born again. Talking to the saved community. Those that have chosen Jesus as their Savior. That is the beloved. How many of you are the beloved? Raise your hand. There you go. We are the beloved. Boy, I love that title. I love it. It shows, again, that we are so loved. John was the author of love. He wrote so many things about the love of God, and we see that word beloved come up a lot. I love it. Love it. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. We're going to look at that later. We won't get to it today, but that whole thing about the Antichrist. We're going to take a minute in one of the lessons, because again, this has turned into a series. So stay with me. You're going to learn quite a few things here. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What a great verse. If you haven't underlined it, please do so. They, talking about those evil spirits, are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, the beloved. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Okay, we can stop there. I'm going to answer this question this morning as we've already established these other three truths. How do you know if you are being led by an evil spirit? We are told, we are instructed in 1 John 4 that we need to discern the spirits. We need to understand, is this of God or is this of the world? Is this earthy? Is this carnal? Is this leading us toward righteousness, or will this guide lead us to perdition? I want to address this for a little bit this morning to help you have a discernment as was discussed in 1 John chapter 4. The Bible tells us to use discernment concerning spiritual leadership. The first way that an evil spirit attacks you is through your internal thinking. Did you know that? It's not necessarily where a big, bad, wicked demon approaches you and, you know, persuades you. A lot of times the demon is inside of you. Not in the sense of possession, but in the sense of your thinking. What you're allowing yourself to think is leaning toward an evil desire. Often using your own desires, your own temptations, the first wave of Satan's attack will be to come at you in your thinking life. Go to Ephesians 6. I quoted the verse, but I want you to see it. Ephesians chapter 6. The very first way that a demonic or evil spirit will come and attack you is through your thinking life, your internal processing of information. That's the first place he'll try to persuade you using demonic persuasion. If you will, let's pick it up there in verse number 10, very familiar portion of Scripture, but let's look at it in that entire thinking, that entire thought line there. We see that Paul is going to give to us the armor that a Christian should wear. The fact that we have to wear armor reminds us that we're in a battle. And that battle is not a physical battle, as the Scripture will explain. It's a spiritual battle against spiritual wickedness. Let's look at it. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, this is, he's saying most importantly here, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He goes on to say, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Very important piece of scripture there, one that it would benefit you to put to memory and to learn it. But we see there in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. And he gives why? So that we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, if you were to study warfare of that day, you would understand that the use of archery was one of the most advanced forms of warfare during their time. This is, of course, before AK-47s and M-16s and M-4s were invented. This was the most modern form of battle at the time the Bible was written here. We understand that often people lived behind large walls, and cities would have large walls that were there for defense of the city, and people would live on the outskirts. If there were alarms sounded, people would then go, and they would go inside the big walled part of the city. They would close those walls up, those gates, they'd pull them up, and then they had a better chance surrounding that wall and having garrisons on it and soldiers to ward off anybody who was trying to do wrong. And often cities would evacuate into those walls, and armies, especially large armies, sometimes they would be holding off just a band of marauders, and they could hold those off pretty easily with their big walls. But sometimes large armies would come and what's called besiege or lay siege to a city. They would surround the walls and they would cut that city off from everything else, often damming up the rivers that flowed into it, often cutting them off from food and water supplies, sometimes camping there up to years around that city until they would finally just choke them out. Often, in those armies that would surround the city, they would have many, many archers, and those archers would take arrows that would have things on the end of it that they could light on fire that would burn a long time. It might be a patch dipped in oil or some kind of pitch that when they lit fire to it, it would burn a long time. And they would get around the city, and although these things would not hurt those big rock walls that they had, you could shoot those arrows into those walls and it would simply hit and bounce off and cause no damage. But if they could lob those fiery arrows over the walls, they would come over it, arch, and then come back down, and they would land inside the city, where often there might be bales of hay stored up for them to have food or grain. There might be houses on the inside of the city with thatch roofs. There might be wood. There might be anything that could stick into and then burn hot enough that it would catch it on fire. Often they would burn the city out from the inside while attacking it from the outside. Their goal was to stand on the outside, but to launch things that would land on the inside, burning them out from the inside and therefore driving them from the inside to the outside, where they could then, with sword, take them over. How many of you get the picture and you understand what's being described here? The Bible describes the devil as having fiery darts. Fiery darts. Things that from the outside can burn us out from the inside, can defeat us from the inside. I would not be the first pastor to suggest that those fiery darts mentioned here are the darts of our thought life that the devil uses so cleverly to get inside of us and cause us to err. From the inside, driving us to err on the outside. And we have to have this shield of faith to defend ourselves standing on our faith, having a strong faith in God that will lead us to being shielded from these fiery darts that are wanting to burn us out on the inside, these thoughts that we have. The first way that an evil spirit will attack you is through your thought life, your internal thinking. They plant thoughts, ideas, and solutions in your thought life. They get you to think about things that will draw you toward their goals. They'll get you to be obsessed in your thinking. They'll get you to... When we start thinking, we start planning. Is that a true statement? I've always believed this. You will eventually acquire what you desire. And the Bible warns us that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. There's where the truth lies. And the devil will take what's already there in your thinking, using their abilities to be persuasive, cause you to think in error, and often lead you into sin. And we see that they plant these thoughts, these ideas. They just make suggestions to you in your spirit. And you can draw them in by having an interest in sin or in the dark spiritual world. When we get to thinking upon these things, we empower them. We draw them to us. Now, you can tell it's an evil spirit by discerning these three things. Number one, their directions. Where are they trying to lead you? The thoughts they're planting, their first level of attack will be your thought life. What's the direction of your thought life? Where are they trying to take you? Your desires. We all have them. And the devil stands back and watches and discerns what our desires are. And in our thought life can actually attack us through natural desires that are already there. And you can tell by the destinations that it has for you. If you succumb to this thought, and you do it, where are you going to be? Where's this going to put you? Here's a man that's at a store, and the girl behind the counter flirts with him. Now, he's married, knows he's married. And to be honest, he's probably happily married. But here's a girl in front of him flirting with him. He leaves and he starts to think about that experience and it gets into his thought life. Now, what this man's got to now discern, if I go and I get involved with this girl, you might, you know, succeed in this for a while, but you're going to get caught. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
They always get caught. They always get caught. Now, here's the question you got to ask yourself. This thought led you to a destination. Before you allow that thought to become the destination, you have to ask yourself, is that where I'm going to want to be? Do you want to be the guy who got caught? Do you want to be the guy seeing your kids once a month? Do you want to be the guy sending 60% of your paycheck? Do you want to be the guy that has to go look your wife in the eye and your children and your mother and your dad? Now, the thought tells you at the moment, this is going to be great. I can pull this off. Now you got to ask yourself, when that evil spirit's telling you all the ways you can pull it off. Yeah, you do this, you do this, you cover that, you make up this story. That's the evil spirit part of it. Using the powers of persuasion to get you to do something that you clearly know is foolish, unwise, and wrong. And you can tell it's an evil spirit because whenever you play it out in your mind to its final destination, is that where you want to be? Is that the person you want to be? Is that the reputation you want to have? Is that the problem you want to be dealing with? It all started not with an evil spirit that grabbed you by the arm and drug you into it. He just simply suggested it in your thought life. Are y'all getting this? It happens every day. And sometimes in less dramatic ways. We know that there are sins that are devastating. And sometimes the sins we're dealing with maybe wouldn't come with that kind of recourse. But we do know this fact scripturally, all sin is damaging. I mean, the doctor could tell you, you have a little tiny tumor. That's just as scary, honestly, as him telling you, you got a real big tumor. The word tumor, any way it's used, is bad. The word sin, you can have what we would consider small sins. But we know this, sin grows. It usually doesn't say small, does it? Children that start out telling little lies, what do they grow up to become? Big lie liars. Doesn't stay small, does it? So we see that an evil spirit, you got to ask yourself about the directions, the desires, and the destinations that this thought life led by this spirit has for you. Now you can tell by discerning the focus of their attack and the desired results of their leading. Whenever an evil spirit is counseling you in your thought life, in your thinking, you can tell, you can ask yourself, what is the desired result in all of this? When they are attacking your spirit towards your church, you're sitting in church, people all around you are going, amen, that's good. They're wiping tears, and people are coming to the altar, and you're sitting there like an old wet hen. I'm going to tell you what's going on. There's an evil spirit in your life. When I was in India, we had a man that was with us. And I was not with them at this particular time. I was elsewhere, but I heard about it. They encountered a demonic situation. And it was pretty severe. Well, something happened to that man in that experience. And it just, he said he couldn't explain it, but he said it changed his spirit. And he became very angry suddenly. He said, I became just angry and I was uncomfortable. And he got into it immediately with one of the other companions. They got in the car immediately. He started almost a physical altercation with this other preacher. And he was angry. And he was. They started driving. Finally, the other preacher pulled over to the side of the road. And he said, we need to stop right now and pray. Because they had just come out of this altercation with a demonic spirit. He said, we need to pray. And the man said, I don't want to pray. I just want to get back to the motel. He started throwing a fit. And this was a Christian man. He started throwing a fit to the other preacher. Finally, he threw such a fit that, and they had to go. There were cars, so they had to pull back and get out of the way. As they were driving down the road, this preacher just started praying, Lord, give us victory over this evil spirit. And I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. And they started praying. Now, I'm telling you what the guy told me. He said, while the preacher was praying, he said, I don't know what was going on. He said, I became so outraged that literally I tried to open the door doing 60 miles down that road and I tried to get out of the car because I didn't want to be in the car with him praying. It shook him up. It shook him up. Another missionary told me in the Philippines that they were praying over a man who had an evil spirit. He said, we gathered around and we started praying. He said, suddenly I looked up and the man's chair was being dragged out of the room by an unseen hand. We looked up and literally the spirits were trying to take this man out of the presence of us while we were praying. Now, again, I wasn't there to see that. Just a good missionary told me that. A good man. My point is this. Evil spirits don't like to be around spiritual things. Good spiritual things. And you're that one that sits in church and you can't stand sitting in church, you better do some studying about your spirit. When you're that person, I love Jesus, I just hate going to church. I'm going to tell you something, you better check your spirit. Because an evil spirit is not comfortable sitting in a church service. Man, I've preached 100 funerals. I always see the people who sit there through all the whole funeral and it gets time for the preach and they can't stand it. They're just, and they had to get up and go sit. Looks like we're sending smoke signals up out in the front of the church. They can't stand sitting under the preaching. There's something about them, they don't want to be around it. They don't like it. They don't like Christian music. They're going to be uncomfortable. Now, where they are comfortable is in a bar where everybody's drinking, cheating on each other, wanting to fight. Am I right about that? Sometimes you get a bad spirit, even as a Christian. Let me tell you one of the ways you know you've got an evil persuasiveness going on in your thought life. When you can't stand coming to church. When you sit in your church and you try to find every reason to get out of it. You better check your spirit. Why is it you don't want to hear the Word of God? Why is it bothers you to hear the Bible taught? You better discern that spirit. When you're coming to church and that spirit's telling you that this is it, to leave your church, you better ask, what is his desired result for you? When you're attacking, when he's attacking your spirit towards your church, and the solution in your spirit is to drop out of church, beloved, you are being led by an evil spirit. It may be that the solution is to lead you to a different church, but when the spirit in your thought life says, I'm quitting church, you are being led by an evil spirit. Let me give you another scenario. If your thought life is making you want to do something that would bring destruction to your home, your testimony, and your walk with God, you're being led by an evil spirit. Are you listening to me? Brother Kevin, come here and help me out a second. Kevin, you're going to play the role of a Christian, and I'm going to play the role of God. All right? We're going to walk together. Here we are walking together in fellowship. We're walking together. We're fellowshipping. We're enjoying each other as we ought to. A child of God and the Father want to have fellowship. All right, now we come to a place and Kevin says, oh, look over there. I desire that. Now the Holy Spirit says, Kevin, you know that's wrong. You know that that is going to ruin your home. That's going to ruin your testimony. Your ability to serve God is going to be ruined if you go down that path. Now you're walking with God. You've been walking with God, having fellowship, and now all of a sudden you come to this place of decision. Then you decide, I'm going to go and do this. You succumb to the evil spirit persuasiveness in your thinking. He's given you the rationalization, the planning, the excuses. You've worked it all out. Now, back here, when we were walking together, you had joy, didn't you?
Of course.
You liked being close to God, didn't you?
Of course.
And you enjoyed the fellowship, the sweetness, going home with a good conscience every night. Not having to make up lies and living in those lies and not having to cover yourself and worrying who's going to find out about all that. That's miserable, isn't it? Now, when you were walking with God, you didn't have any of that. You had peace. You had love. You had joy in your heart. God was providing for you. But then we come over to here. We're walking together. And then that evil spirit gets into your thinking and you go ahead and go that way. What did y'all notice changed right here? This is where God says, this is where I have to leave you. I'm not going to walk in sin with you. God doesn't walk in sin. Now, the Holy Spirit's there grieved. You ever been with somebody doing something horrible and you're stuck? You can go ahead and have a seat. Uncomfortable? You ever been somewhere where bad things were happening, but you were kind of stuck there? And you're uncomfortable, you don't want to be there, you're afraid you're going to get in trouble with everybody else. Remember those? Yeah, that's how you make the Holy Spirit feel when you just go ahead and go in there and do it. He's like, oh, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be doing this. Whenever there's a spirit that's trying to get you to go where God would not go with you, you're being led by an evil spirit. You say, preacher, does that ever happen? Yeah, it does. If you've got a spirit in your thought life, if that thought life is being ruled by the spirit that is wanting you to do something that will destroy your home, that's an evil spirit. If it's wanting to destroy your testimony, that's not the Holy Spirit. If it makes you have to lose your walk with God to do it, that is not the Holy Spirit leading you. You're being led by an evil spirit in your thought life. Let me throw this at you. You know that an evil spirit is attacking your thinking when your thinking leads you to do something that is in conflict with these things. Are you ready? Number one, the Word of God. An evil spirit will lead you to do something always contrary to the Word of God. When you're thinking about it, and you can think of clear scripture that tells you not to do it, you know that there's an evil spirit that's now in contact with you in your thinking. What about this in conflict with the call of God in your life? When it's trying to get you out of the call of God, there's an evil spirit involved there. Whenever you're dealing with something that's in conflict with your inner conscience, you know that you're now dealing with an evil spirit. What about this when it leads you to be in conflict with your understanding of morals and ethics? Some things aren't necessarily wrong to do in the sense of being sinful, but they're unwise to do. They're unwise to do. It violates your ethics and your morals. Now, that's the first way. That'd be the first attack that you'll have by an evil spirit. First place they're going to come to you and you is get right here. Get you sour on your church. Everything we do is irritating, and everything I preach makes you mad. I tell a joke, it makes you mad. When I'm being friendly to you, it makes you mad. Yeah, let me tell you what your problem is. The problem ain't me. The problem is you got an evil spirit controlling your thought life. That's bottom line. You got an evil spirit that's telling you to hate church, not come to church. You're now allowing the direction of an evil spirit to pull you somewhere. I promise you, if you were to think that out, where the final destination is, it's not where you're going to want to be. Amen.
Amen, brother.
If you guys would grab this, if you'd get what I'm telling you, you would find much more joy in your spiritual life. There are people that have been a member of 50 churches in the last 40 years, and they find a problem with every church. Every church. Doesn't matter. They go there any length of time. I'm not, sometimes God moves you, and sometimes there's a reason to move. But there are people that every church they go to, they find something wrong with the pastor. And it doesn't take 6 months, they're already soured. It goes from, oh, pastor, you're the greatest thing I've ever, oh, listen, where have you been? To 6 months later, they won't even shake my hand. And you'll find that it's that way every church you go. Let me tell you what's going on. You need to get some spiritual victory. Because that evil spirit's not going to be happy in any church. Therefore, you're not going to be happy in any church. You get spiritual victory, you'll find joy in the house of God. Somebody say amen. You say, preacher, are you talking to anybody? I'm talking about 35 years of experience is what I'm talking about. I've been doing this a long time. I've seen people come and go, come and go, come and go. And I've seen them go from here to there and then go from there back to there. There's a reason they're not enjoying any place of worship. Reason their spirit is always offended. Oh, man. You don't want to be that person. Who wants to be that person? Now, there's a second way that evil spirit will attack you. By the way, I warned y'all last week, buckle up, because this one's going to get deep. It's going to get rough. It's going to get rough. If you're spiritually weak, this is your chance to go. I would suggest you go. Just get in your car and go home because you're not going to be able to handle this. And the truth is, I'm touching some raw nerves this morning. Not that I want to. It's just the Word of God.
Amen.
The second way an evil spirit will attack you is through people around you who are being led by an evil spirit themselves. And they will seek to recruit and infect your spirit with their evil spirit. You ever think about Job's wife? You need to just curse God and die, Job. I like the way that comedian put it. The comedian Tim Hawkins was talking about this in one of his routines, and although it's humorous, there might be a little truth to it. But you see where he attacks his wealth, attacks his health, and kills all of his children. And if you can imagine being a demon watching Satan do this to Job, you can't help but wonder, his wife never was touched one time. And why you'd be saying, hey, his wife's standing right over there, why are you letting her get off? You can just hear the devil look at his demons and go, trust me, she's on our side, leave her alone. Because she will come to him and persuade him in a way that her counsel to him is curse God and die.
Yeah.
The devil knew to leave her alone, man. She's on our side in this thing. She'll be the biggest help we got. And she became an oppressive person in his life throughout the story. Now, I think God has an awesome sense of humor, Russ.
Yes, sir.
Because the story ends with Job having 10 more children.
Yeah.
You realize what happened here, right? That woman ended up having to have 10 more kids to fulfill God's joy.
Yeah.
She got pregnant 10 more times. And in heaven, Job had 20 children to enjoy for eternity. What I'm trying to say is there are people around you that can infect your spirit with their evil spirit. They can be found in churches. They can be found in private Bible studies. They can be found in friendship circles. And they can even be found in counselors that we have in our life. Go to Matthew 7. Evil spirits can sometimes affect you and infect you by the people that you allow to be around you that have an evil spirit about them. A gripey spirit, murmuring spirit, divisive spirit, always seeking to divide, not unite. And those people exist. And they exist in churches. Matthew 7, look at verse number 15. We see this warning, and it starts off with the word beware in verse 15. It says, beware, means beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. When we see sheep in the Bible, we know it refers to a Christian. So these are people wearing the clothing, the outer skin of Christianity, but are inwardly, notice this, but inwardly they are ravening wolves, the enemy of the sheep, if you would. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, how do you discern that person? Wherefore, by their fruit ye shall know them. Evil spirits always lead you against spiritual leaders in your life. Did you know that? Listen to what 2 Peter 2, verse 9 through 11 says. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. An evil spirit person will always lead you against a spiritual leader in your life. Predators always want to get sheep separated from their shepherd. The fact is, evil hates spiritual leadership. So listen, you got a person that you fellowship with that every time you have lunch with them, all they do is gripe about your pastor and your youth pastor and your principal. And every time you deal with them, all they do is gripe about the spiritual leaders of the church you attend. They have nothing good to say about it. What should your spirit discern about that person? Now see again, I told you, buckle up. I gave you a warning. The truth is, we've all had people in our lives that have sought to lead us against spiritual leaders in our life. They have nothing good to say about a spiritual leader. And what is their goal when they're telling you this? To turn you against that spiritual leader. Who, if you really investigate, has probably been good to you. Has probably lived a wholesome life. Has probably not done anything personally to hurt you. Has not done anything immoral. But the agenda is being led by an invisible spiritual leader. And this is how they work. This is how they've always worked. Jesus had a church with 12 people in it. And one of them was possessed by an evil spirit. His name was Judas. And every time we see Judas, he's griping about Jesus. The most perfect being that has ever lived. Unlike me, he was sinless. Unlike me, he was perfect. Unlike me, he never made a bad decision in his whole life. And yet Judas, still in the evil spirit possessing him, found a way to gripe about Christ. Everything he did. That's rough, isn't it? So you can discern this person's spirit is trying to infect me with an evil spirit. When all they do is try to destroy spiritual leaders in my life. Now, you can discern a good spirit from the Holy Spirit's leading by asking these questions. I'm going to give you this and we're done. And these are hard things. They're necessary things. Boy, I've seen good people hurt. To me, it's always the tragedy. That's always the tragedy of a church split. There's all the good people who get hurt in it. There's always that little group of people who cause it and engineer it, sit down at Denny's and gripe about everything about their church to everybody that'll listen. There's that little group. It's usually a small little niche group. Surrounding that's a bunch of good people who didn't have an issue until they sat down with them. They loved their class until they sat down and had lunch with that person. And you know what I've learned from this, Brother Roger? The end result is a lot of good people who started out loving their church, loving their pastor, loving Jesus, are now out of church. That evil spirit succeeded. Where does he do this the most? In the church. In the church. The Bible warns us to mark those that cause division among you. Mark them. Get away from them. Just don't sit at their table. Don't give ear to them. Now, you can discern a good spirit from the Holy Spirit's leading by asking these questions. One, ask, is this spirit's leading in conflict with Scripture? Write it down. Is this spirit's leading in conflict with Scripture? Remember, the Holy Spirit never leads you to do something that violates Scripture. Evil spirits, however, will lead you in finding good reasons to do wrong things, acceptable excuses for your behavior and actions. They'll even use the misuse of Scripture to give you a green light to do something unwise or wrong, and your spiritual leaders can see through it. By the way, just because a person can't stop you from doing wrong and must accept your excuses, it doesn't mean that you are doing right or being wise. The truth is, there's a lot of excuses. One thing about being a pastor, we become experts, and it's like a school teacher. We hear a lot of excuses. And we could call you out. I could help solve your excuse for you. But I've learned that just leads to a bad spirit. I could help you solve it where you could still do what you were supposed to do. But often that just drives, people get angry. So often I find myself accepting the excuse when I can see through it that it's just an excuse. There's 50 different solutions that would work. And sometimes it might be your school teacher, it might be your boss, somebody that accepts the excuse. even though they can see through the excuse. You parents ever have your kid give you an excuse and you could find 50 ways around that excuse? But you may accept it. But it doesn't mean that they're doing something wise or doing something right. Your child may give you 50 excuses why he did not do his homework, but he's still going to get an F. And you can give all kinds of excuses why you're not doing what the Holy Spirit is trying to lead you to do, but you're allowing an evil spirit to lead you contrary, accepting their persuasive suggestions to help you understand. They'll make you feel like, even though you know in your heart it's wrong, they'll give you even biblical verses to back up that it's okay. And the devil tried that with Jesus. He succeeded doing just that with Eve. See, again, this is some deep stuff. I might should have preached this on a Wednesday night. I don't know. There are going to be people come out of this with a legion of spirits attached to them after this. Let me give you this second question that you need to ask when you're being led in your spirit to see if it's the Holy Spirit or an evil spirit. Ask this. Is it guiding me to do sin? Is this guiding me to sin? Then you know it's an evil spirit. Number three, ask if its advice is in conflict with your conscience or understood principles in your life. Listen, righteousness is not just governed by a bunch of thou shalt nots. Preacher, show me in the Bible where it says thou shalt not. There are principles that rise up through correct use of Scripture. Where that is a principle that will arise up out of it, and that principle becomes a rule that you guide and guard your life with. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Well, it's awfully quiet this morning. I get it, though. This is not really an amen and kind of sermon. And so you have to ask yourself, is this spirit leading me to be in conflict with my conscience and my understood principles? Again, some things may not be technically wrong or sinful to do. Some things may be very unwise to do. And your principles are in conflict with that. The devil likes to lead us into foolishness. Often the next step over from foolishness is sinfulness. Is that true? There are some of those little gray areas where you're not technically wrong. But boy, sure, it looks like it's wrong. It feels like it's wrong. You wouldn't advise anyone else to do it. Number four, ask if it goes against the will of God or takes you out of the will of God that you know and understand in your life. The devil wants you out of the will of God. He didn't want you walking with God. Number five, ask if the Spirit is leading you by the fruits of the flesh or by the fruits of your spirit. Fruits of the flesh are anger, spite, vengeance, hate, lust, jealousy, sensuality, fornication, versus the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, grace, mercy, holiness, morality, good conscience. Ask, is it leading you? Which part of your body is this leading here? Number six, ask if it builds you up or brings you down in your spirit. I want you to catch this. Go to Luke 22:31. I'm just about done. A lot of you are thinking, good, because I'm just about done listening to you. Oh, I'm messing with you. I don't think anybody in here has an issue with what I'm saying. And by the way, this is preventive maintenance. I'm not having any issues that I'm aware of. But I want you to be aware of how the devil works. Churches by the scores have been ripped apart by evil spirits that take seed in the people that attend that church. I don't mean they're possessed. I just mean they're allowing persuasion. They're allowing an evil spirit to guide their actions, their thoughts, lead them into the things they say and do and stand. And the Holy Spirit always leads you in a more excellent way. There's a right way and a wrong way to handle everything. And the Holy Spirit leads you in a right way. Evil spirits always lead you in the wrong way. And there's always a right way to handle a solution. And there's always wrong ways to handle a solution. Now, I want you to be wise. I want you to be wise. In Luke 22, verse 31, it says this, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, He says his name twice. Why do you reckon he did that? I mean, what he's saying here is focus. Simon, look right here. And he says something to him that's very, very scary if you think about it. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may bless your life and make you a great joy and blessing. Is that what he says? Satan desires you so he can lift you up and give you the desires of your heart. Make your home better and your life better. No, he says, Satan desires you, Simon. He wants you so that he may sift you like wheat. Beloved, focus. Satan desires you. And not so he can make your life better. And not so he can make your home better and your marriage better and your children better. He doesn't desire you so he can make your future better. He desires you so he can destroy you. Christ constructs, Satan destructs. Evil spirits bring destruction, doubt, defeat, depression, despair, and destruction to your spirit. It will destroy your self-image. That's an evil spirit telling you to hate yourself. It's an evil spirit that makes a woman look in a mirror and say how ugly she is. That's not the Holy Spirit. It's an evil spirit that tells a young man that you're nothing and you're stupid and you can't do anything. That is a destructive, evil spirit that desires to sift you like wheat, make you into a destroyed person. Holy Spirit builds you up. Holy Spirit will lead you into victory. Holy Spirit will lead you into a balanced self-image. One that says that I'm made by the hand of God, but I'm flawed in my human nature. One that says, God has given me gifts and talents to do what he wants me to do, but I have sin in my life, and I'm not perfect. God doesn't want you to hate yourself, Dan. Your wife does, but God doesn't want you to hate yourself. And he doesn't want you to spend all your time thinking about how horrible you are. What he wants you to remember is that he redeemed you and that he wiped it clean. The devil wants to come to you all the time and say, who are you to serve God? Don't you know your past? Don't you know the dumb things you've done that we led you into so we could use it against you later? You know? It's like being in the mafia, and they know too much. And man, the devil comes to you all the time and tries to get you to say you can't serve God, you can't be an example, you can't be a good person. That's an evil spirit. And you better identify it and ignore it. You better tune it out. You better cut it off. And they seek to destroy anything that is good, godly, and holy. They want to destroy the church, your marriage, the home. They want to destroy. They don't want you enjoying godly fellowship. They want you mad at everybody in your church all the time. I'm out of time. Let's bow our heads. So much more to say. So much more to say. Who's on the other end of your phone call? Who's on the other end of the line? Who is it that you're talking to and trusting that's an evil spirit? Leading you to think evil, to encouraging you to do evil. What's on the other phone call for your thought life? What is on the other end of the line with the relationships that you have? Are they leading you to curse God and die? Is that their suggestion to you? Are they trying to get you away from the shepherd? Predators always want the sheep to be separated from the shepherd. That person trying to get you out of church is a predator and being led by an evil spirit. That person trying to get you into sin, you can understand they're being led by an evil spirit. Now, the choice is always yours. You never lose your free will. You've always got the free will to choose what you want to do. But you got to ask yourself, when you think it through, is this destination where I want to be? Do I want to be at that place in my life? And you've got to discern these people and these thoughts. The devil comes to you through physical people. Evil spirits do. Evil spirits come to you firstly through your thought life. Is there anyone here today that could say, "Preacher, I don't know for sure that I'm saved, but I want to be saved before it's too late. Would you pray for me?" Anybody at all? "Preacher, I want to be saved before it's too late." Anybody? I don't know how a message like this affects you. There's a lot of thoughts in it. And maybe, perhaps, you've thought in your life areas where you remember the old evil spirits as they got into your thinking and led you to be angry, led you to have a spirit of anger and bitterness, a spirit of vengeance, a spirit of hate. Boy, you better cleanse your life of that evil spirit. We'll deal with that more later in the lesson as we get to the end of it. We'll give a lot of remedies here, but the truth is, Satan is alive and well, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And spiritual warfare is a real thing. And you're either going to be a casualty of that war or you're going to be a victor in it. It's my hope to create victors. Dear Father, I hope that people will receive the message in the spirit in which it was preached. Not a spirit of lashing out, but a spirit of warning. A spirit of helping them to be aware, lest the devil get into their life and sift them like wheat. Lord, I pray that you'll let them truly clench that shield of faith, to be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The wicked abound everywhere. We've got to be strong in the power of your might to be able to engage in these spiritual battles that go on daily in our hearts, minds, and in the relationship world that circles around us. Lord, if there's somebody in the room that's been struggling with it, I pray so much that they'll seek victory before it destroys their love of you and their love of your church, and before it destroys the love of their spiritual shepherd that you've given to them and the fellowship of good friends that you've placed in their life. I pray that they'll deal with it and recognize it, claim it, and repent of it before the devil has his way in their life. Now, Lord, we yield up this time for anybody who needs to make a spiritual decision. I pray that they'll come and get things right with you. We ask this in Jesus' name.